Martha, their home there in Bethany, and the love being expressed in that action. We're going to look at that story here this morning for just a little bit. You know these folks, I think. Lazarus, raised from the dead. Martha and Mary, close friends of Jesus. And they live in Bethany. And you may recall that back in John chapter 11, John 11 begins with a description of the fact that Lazarus is really, really sick. And these sisters send word to Jesus to get his attention, that hopefully he'll come and get there in time so that he can touch Lazarus and make him well. But you also may know in that story that Jesus doesn't get there in time. That Jesus even seems to on purpose delay going. He tells his disciples, well, Lazarus is asleep. They didn't know that Jesus meant by that actually Lazarus had passed away. But in time, Jesus makes his way there. And when he arrives, he gets the wrath of a couple of sisters for a while. Where were you? Why weren't you here? What took you so long? Our brother passed. He's dead. We buried him. And he saw the family weeping and those who had come to mourn with them weeping. And it says that Jesus wept with them. Aren't you glad for that? That Jesus weeps with those who weep. His heart of compassion is so strong. Well, you know as well that in that story there in John chapter 11, that Jesus is taken out to where the tomb is, and he says, let's roll the stone away. And everybody's saying, I don't think you want to do that, Jesus. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. I don't think you want to roll that stone away. And actually, in John 11:39, they put it this way. You don't want to do that because by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been there 4 days. But Jesus insists. And they roll the stone away. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And we know the story, don't we? Lazarus comes out and he's all wrapped up in these cloths that they had put around him. And he comes out of the tomb. And it becomes a day to celebrate. And Jesus revealed a little more about himself when he did that day. Because he helped them to see that he was even more than just a healer. He's Lord of life. Aren't you glad for that? Well, it's with all of that that we come into chapter 12, where we're going to rest for just a little bit here this morning. So John chapter 12, if you have your Bibles there with you, we want to read this story. But they want to throw a party for Jesus to honor him. And so they decide to invite him to their home. And so this is how John chapter 12, verse 1, this is how it all starts. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served as usual, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And then notice that John puts in here a little parenthesis. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replies. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So here we are, the setting of a home, a dinner in honor of Jesus is in progress. And they're all there to celebrate what Jesus has done. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He brought joy back into a family that was mourning the loss of their brother. And they just wanted to say, thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we just need to have a party with Jesus, don't we? Just thank you, Jesus. Can I just tell you, Tam and I on Friday, the reality is there's a good chance we would not have been here except for the fact that the Lord protected us. And we thank Jesus for that. We were on 270 coming south, trying to get onto I-70. Everything stopped. We stopped. And all of a sudden, I see in my rearview mirror a semi-truck who's not stopping. And all I had room to do and all I could even think to do is to try to just get a little bit to the right, still trying to stay in my lane, though I probably got out of it a little bit. And a trucker slamming on the brakes and slid right past us on the left-hand side. Several cars passed us. And both Tam and I knew only the hand of God, or we'd have been either in a hospital or you might have been at our visitation right now. I don't know. But here's what I know. God's good. God watches over us. And every once in a while, we should throw a party for Jesus because he's so good. Amen? Well, they're throwing a party for Jesus that day. He had done so much for them and been so good to them. And, you know, Martha and Mary, they're there. And as usual, Martha's the one serving. You know, she's the one that got so upset with her sister Mary one other occasion because Mary wasn't helping. Mary was in listening to Jesus at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus. And sister Martha wants her out in the kitchen helping. But Jesus tells Martha, You're too worried about stuff that doesn't matter right now. Mary chose what really matters most right now. So don't get on Mary. Don't be all upset with her. Sometimes you just got to keep priorities, right? You got to keep things in mind of what really matters, what really should be priority. But in the middle of this dinner, and you just got to picture this, that their dinners and their arrangements were a lot different than how we do it. We have chairs that we sit at tables and whatever and have a dinner. Well, in their culture, they had tables that were a lot lower and they reclined, leaning on an elbow with their feet behind them as they're eating their meal. And it says that Mary comes up and has this pint of pure nard, and it's described as very expensive perfume. Later on, someone says it's probably worth a year's wages. Think about what a year's wages is. And then think about pouring that out, and it's all now gone. But Mary comes, she pours it on the feet of Jesus, and she begins to wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair. And the phrase in this story that caught my attention, I want to kind of focus on it and use it as our way to think about things today, was this. Verse 3, the end of it. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. That's one of those that I think you might want to underline. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Because I'm going to suggest another way to look at it. The house was filled with the fragrance of love. It was, wasn't it? That place was filled with love. That place had the aroma of love all over it. The love of Mary for Jesus and love of a Lazarus and disciples, but expressed most perfectly through this woman who poured out the most valuable thing she had to honor Jesus. Have you ever been in a room filled with the fragrance of love? I hope you have. I hope many times. Several years ago, you know that my sister, who was only 39 at the time, passed away. And our family, you know, all of a sudden had to deal with what that would involve for us. And it was Thanksgiving week. And when we met for Thanksgiving dinner that year, it was a room filled with the fragrance of love. God was with us. The funeral was the next day, but my brother and all his family and our family and my sister and her husband, and we were all together. The fragrance of love filled the place. Hugs and kisses, and the presence of God was real. The fragrance of love makes a difference. The fragrance of love, whether it's in your home or in some other context, or even in the context of the church family, the fragrance of love makes a difference, doesn't it? You know when there's love in the air, when there's love in this place, when there's a sense that God's here and God's presence is real. I want to just give you some points, thoughts to think about here today. The first one is this, that in that place, that day especially, and I hope every time we even gather in this place, that the fragrance of love is always welcome. Amen? I mean, isn't that so much better than any other fragrance that there could be? The fragrance of love. We've been in contexts and situations where maybe it wasn't the fragrance of love, right? Maybe it was more like the stink of death that they were trying to keep Jesus from. Let's not open up that tomb right now. We've been in rooms like that sometimes too, haven't we? Where the fragrance of death, when a fragrance that wasn't all that inviting was there. It wasn't love. Kind of a place you want to avoid, a setting you don't really want to be a part of. But in a world like ours, there's probably no greater need in our world than that the fragrance of love would begin to permeate everywhere we go and wherever we are as followers of Christ. Amen? Because it's rare. The fragrance of love in our culture today is rare. There's a lot more room for hate. There's a lot more room for all kinds of other things going on between people than the fragrance of love. And that's sad to think about, isn't it? But the fragrance of love was welcome in that place. And that brings me to the second thought, and that's simply this, that the fragrance of love also then can linger. I wondered how long the fragrance of that perfume on the feet of Jesus lasted that week. Do you remember how the story started? It's 6 days before Passover. Jesus is going to a cross in days. You wonder if the fragrance of that perfume might have lingered for several days that week. Just think about that. I mean, I don't know exactly, but isn't it great to kind of think about that maybe throughout that week, wherever Jesus was, these disciples always had that scent of that perfume that had been put on the feet of Jesus, and that it lingered for a while. I want to just say a word about some Oikos meetings that Pastor Kayla and Pastor Kari had with us Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And we circled around here in the sanctuary, and we prayed and we sang. We shared scripture, and the final night, the Wednesday night, was a beautiful thing. It's just every single person, whatever their story, whatever they might be dealing with, we prayed over every single person. And there was the fragrance of love in this place. The sense that God was here. The sense that God's love was real. And that He comes to where we are. Sometimes in our stinky messes, He comes and changes the fragrance. And the fragrance lingered that day and lingered maybe throughout the week. The week that Jesus would go to a cross. Well, there's one more that I want to add to this, and that's this thought, that the fragrance of love also exposes evil. Did you notice the major contrast that we find in this particular story between Mary and Judas? I mean, it's a huge contrast, isn't it? The difference between Mary, who brings the most expensive thing she has and pours it out on the feet of Jesus and wipes His feet with her hair, and Judas, who immediately has to complain. He immediately has to object. What a waste. Jesus, this is ridiculous. How can you let her just pour out something? We could have sold that and given it to the poor. But don't you love the fact that the Gospel of John and John kind of brings out, you know what? Judas said that, but he had no interest in the poor at all. What was Judas' interest? Judas. Judas only cared about Judas. He had no concern for the poor. I mean, we're told that he's a thief, that he helped himself to whatever money came in. I think he wanted to have that. If that perfume would have been sold and a lot of money would have come in, he said, hey, I like this. I might buy me a new car. They didn't have cars now, but a new donkey, a new camel. There we go. But you get the point, right? What a contrast in how the fragrance of love that Mary expressed exposed how evil really is. Shows how really different and anti-Christ it really is. Here's how love can expose evil. Have you ever been in a setting where there were people of different persuasions in a room? And how when someone comes in the room who might be a Christian and who exudes the love for God, how it changes that atmosphere a little bit. Sometimes some people kind of shy away. Some don't want you to hear what they just said. You know, there's a lot of things that change when love comes in the room, because there's a lot of things that might be happening that aren't filled with love. The fragrance of love will always expose evil for what it really is. True? Well, let me give you the final thought. And this is the one I just want to have you kind of hold on to even as you leave this place today. And that is this: the fragrance of love is never a waste. it's never a waste. Expressing love in whatever context it might be is never a waste. It might seem like it. It might seem like nobody cares about it. Nobody even respects that. I'll tell you, heaven knows. The Lord knows. That fragrance of love in that place is never a waste. Never think that when you do what you believe God wants you to do in loving and caring for people, never ever think that it was a waste of your time. They might treat it like that, the ones that might be in that context, but God knows. And you never know what God might do with that expression of love over the course of some time in changing somebody's heart. Your expressions of love in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, your school, wherever you are, have the potential, the possibility of helping to bring transformation to a place because of the love of God in and through you. So never, ever believe that it's a waste. Okay? The fragrance of love is never a waste. There was a scripture that came to my mind as I was preparing for this week, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, there's this line in there. It says, God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Think about that one. That's powerful, isn't it? Think about that. God uses us. Isn't that amazing? God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Everywhere we go, we can be the aroma of Christ. And notice the next verse, 2:15, says, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. And so today we want to put on Christ. We want to let the love of Christ be so deep in our hearts and a part of our lives that everywhere we go, the fragrance is love. Amen? That God's love becomes evident, noticeable, sensed. We want love to be sensed where we go and where we live and with whomever we are because of who God is and what He has done in our lives. Well, ask yourself the question, what difference would the fragrance of love make in your home? Hopefully it's already there. But if not, we need God's help, don't we? What difference might the fragrance of love make where you work? That somehow you being the aroma of Christ in that place might change a little bit of that atmosphere? What might it make in your school? For some of you who are students, what might allowing Christ to be the aroma, the atmosphere that is part of who you are as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, what might that difference be? Letting Christ radiate from our life. Final thought. It's just a repeat, but it's one I don't want us to forget. The fragrance of love is never a waste. Amen? Let's remember that. Let's let that permeate our lives and our places where we are, even this week. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for this story that just shares Mary's incredible love for Jesus and expressed in the bringing of this very, very expensive perfume and pouring it out on the feet of Jesus in preparation for his burial. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you're doing in and through us. Lord, help us to remember that we carry the aroma of Christ wherever we go. Help us, Lord, to be those that really are known for how we love one another as the people of God. Thank you again, Lord, for this day. Bless, Lord, the remainder of this day in time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've had our young people join us, and Tammy and I are going to need to go, but there's some neat things coming up for the remainder.